on this episode of the Naturist Living Show, attracting youth to naturism.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for this podcast. I'm also the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And I'm just back from a week in France, in the south of France, near Bordeaux, at a resort called Montalivet. And also following that, a week in Croatia for the International Naturist Federation Congress. And I've got lots of things for future shows, so stay tuned for lots of interesting stuff on both places. But I came back to some really impressive numbers. I had to check them. I couldn't believe it. We hit 79,000. I think I announced that in the last show. And September is not quite over. September 2012, if you're catching up on old shows. And the numbers are already over 139,000 just for the month of September. And I'm... I double-checked and triple-checked, and those are accurate quantities of downloads of the MP3s. So that's unbelievable. I'm stunned. I'm a little intimidated. And it appears that a large part comes from the August show called Performing Nude, which had over 25,000 downloads, or has had already over 25,000 downloads. There's still a little bit of time left in September as I'm recording this, so it'll probably be even higher. Perhaps the idea of performing nude has been getting a lot of people to download it. Perhaps a lot of people were looking for videos or photos or something of people performing in the nude, and they're disappointed that it's audio only. But I've got to imagine that there's still a large proportion, even if it's half or less, that's still a huge number of people who are interested in the show and the message we have here. So thank you for listening. I hope I can keep you happy and entertained, and that you keep enjoying it, because that's why I'm doing it, and that's why you listen. We had some news this past summer with the royalty in the UK taking their clothes off. At first, it started with Prince Harry in Las Vegas doing some sort of nude game in his room. And then Kate was caught quite inappropriately, because she was in a private place, but with long lens. Some photographers and newspaper reporters took some pictures of her sunbathing top-free, sunbathing and walking around enjoying herself top-free. And good for both of them. Good for them for enjoying themselves. My advice is that they should stop giving nudity currency. By suing them, by getting incensed and offended and all that, they're making them more interesting and more valuable. People want to see what they can't have and what's hidden from them. So my advice, it would be, don't give them the power. The stars, the movie stars, the celebrities who are very open about the fact that they enjoy being nude and are nude and don't hide their nudity in the photos and don't sue people who have photos of them nude and don't aren't ashamed of them, they don't seem to attract as much scandal and shock. People just seem to go, yeah, that's fine, whatever, and they accept it. So that'd be my advice. And since we have so many listeners, perhaps Prince Harry or Kate Middleton is listening right now. So I'd like to invite you to Bear Oaks to become full-fledged naturists, since you obviously enjoy taking your clothes off, and come and spend a week. No charge. I'd be happy to have you. You'll have to bring your own security, though, because I'm not sure that we're up to the task of keeping the hordes out once they find out you're there. Or maybe we can keep it a quiet visit. But I'd be happy to arrange something. So, you know, have your people call my people, and we'll work something out. In some of the earlier shows this summer, I said we've had a wonderful, fantastic summer. The weather's been perfect, but also 5 years of marketing and promotion seems to be coming together. Our reputation is solidified. I've seen people talk about Bear Oaks as a very famous and legendary place, which is flattering, but we really have only been operating as Bear Oaks with the ethical naturism philosophy for 5 years, and that has only really cemented itself in the last few years. So, but it's nice to see, and it's nice to see in particular that we've had lots of young people. We've had lots of young people in their late teens come on their own even, but mostly in their early 20s. I would say we've had hundreds of visits by people, certainly under 35, hundreds of visits by those people this summer. So we have no trouble attracting young people. They join, they love it, they really enjoy them. I have had many conversations with some of them, and they're absolutely thrilled with the naturist philosophy that we are offering, with the facilities, with the environment, and they love it, and they want to come back, and they don't want to leave. So I guess because of that, I feel a little bit entitled to give some advice, because I keep hearing about how it's impossible and hard to do that. So I put together some thoughts about what worked for us and what I think would work for others, and how to attract youth to a naturist club that is apparently having trouble getting them. And I think the first thing that people have to recognize in a club is that it may not be a youth problem. It may just be a recruitment problem in general. I mean, how many new people are you getting at your club if you're not getting young people? Are you attracting a lot of new people? Because if you're attracting a lot of new people, a certain percentage will undoubtedly be young people. But if you're not attracting anybody, then you shouldn't be surprised that you're not getting any young people either. So there's many clubs that I've seen out there that have been around for a long time, essentially got pretty full in the 70s and 80s and stopped really marketing and recruiting. You know, it's something that even now, as all our sites are full and we're very busy, I'm not stopping, and I'm never going to stop, because it's an ongoing process to keep marketing and managing an image and a brand like Bear Oaks. And so the first things clubs need to do is look at what they're doing and ask themselves, are they recruiting? Are you interested as a club in new people? Not just young people, just getting new people. Do you want new people? Because if you don't want new people, you won't have young people. The teenagers, the children of members, many of them will leave. Why? Well, they don't want to hang out with their parents. And secondly, they have lives that they're developing and building, and may not be in their parents' house, almost certainly will not be, and maybe in a different part of the country. So it's guaranteed that you will lose a certain number of young people, or a lot of the young people, as far as the children of the members are. So you must recruit new people if you expect to go, because it's not going to be the children that are going to stay and grow. Some will, but a lot of them will not. Now, if you want to get young people, the other question is, are you targeting young people? Are you only interested in targeting old people? If you're only interested in targeting old people, then of course, you shouldn't be surprised that only people who come who are older, not necessarily elderly, are the ones joining, because you're marketing to them, you're targeting them. But if you want new people and you want young people, you have to make a concerted effort to target them properly. So what is the target? You have to have a proper target. You have to understand who they are. And you have to communicate where they are. So if you're placing classifieds in the newspaper, you're probably not going to get many of them. If you have a mediocre website, you're not on Facebook, for example, if you're not active in the social media world out there, then you're not going to be attracting young people, because they're not going to hear about you. In fact, it's really easy to do this if you spend the time and you spend the energy, but it requires an ongoing commitment, not just once a year, but every week, a few hours, on social media, on the website, developing your presence on the internet. The great thing is that it's free. And just like we, you know, as naturists, we can get lots of newspaper, radio, television coverage free without having to buy any advertising. because the topic is one that is so intriguing to the general population. You can also do a lot of free media, free exposure, pardon the pun, free publicity, free promotion online. But you have to be there and you have to talk in the places where the young people are if you want to target them. You also have to have the right message because, you know, if you are not saying the right thing, then you're not going to interest anybody. That's true for any marketing. And with youth, I believe that you have to have a strong naturist philosophy. You can't just be a place where you get naked for the sake of getting naked. And you'll hear in some interviews that are coming up how young people say that. They have this perception that naturist clubs are these boring places where nothing happens, where there's nothing to do, where you just sit around and stare at each other. If you're a part of a naturist club, you know that's not necessarily true. But if you don't communicate that, if that's not part of your message, you're not going to interest young people. And I think you have to be very idealistic. I think you have to be an ethical naturist, as I've said many times in the past. Because when you're young is when you're at your most idealistic. That's when you're most involved in causes. That's when a message of health and social justice and having a better world in general, in terms of body acceptance and getting along together, that message rings truer when you're younger because you are more idealistic then than you are later on in life. So watering down your values of naturism, becoming just a recreational naturist or nudist, as opposed to an ethical naturist or nudist, is not going to appeal as easily to young people. It's going to seem meaningless. It'll just seem like a place where you don't have to wear a bathing suit when you swim. And that doesn't mean very much, and that's not much of a motivation to go and visit or join a naturist club. And you also have to answer their questions in the messaging. And the messaging here is your website. Your website should not just be about your facilities. They're not looking for facilities. You're a campground, a country club, you have a pool, you have a beach. There's lots of those in the world. Sure, you have to say you have them. But they have a lot of questions. What's this naturism about? You know, what are the values? What is the philosophy? When I get there, how should I behave? If you have a chance, go take a look on the Bear Oaks website. You'll see right from the front page, we have a first-time icon. Answers many of the questions that people ask. And when first-timers come, young people, they tell me that that was an important section because it answered all their questions. And they were amazed how it answered all their questions and how I knew exactly what they were thinking. You know, you do this for a few decades, you know exactly what people are asking. But for them, they thought they were the first, as most people do, to think of them. And so they were very pleased to find the answers to all the questions that they had. Now, you also have to provide a welcoming environment. Now, I could talk probably the entire show on branding. Branding is so much more than just your logo. People think branding is logo. A branding is all the experiences that you have when you visit a place or you interact with a company or a service or a product. And so it's very important. So when you come in to your naturist club, is there anyone to greet you? Do you greet your guests? Are there instructions? Is there clear signage as to what you should do? Or do you leave people feeling a little awkward and uncomfortable? Can they find you? I mean, are your directions on the website? There are still many clubs out there who don't have any directions because you're supposed to call ahead of time and make a reservation to come. And by the way, when you call, there's nobody who answers, so you have to leave a voicemail message. You know, young people don't even use their cell phones for calling people anymore. They text. And so they have to be able to get to you. They have to be able to get the message to you. But if they do call, somebody has to answer, assuming it's during normal business hours. And what are those normal business hours? Maybe you can't afford to be staffing an office from, you know, 8 in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. But maybe you can for half a day. Maybe you can on the weekend. So why not clearly post that on the website and on Facebook and all those places? It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. But it's amazing how many people don't provide that information. It doesn't make you feel very wanted if people don't tell you where they are, if people don't tell you when to come and when things are open, if they don't answer the phone, if they don't reply to emails, or if they ignore Facebook posts. You don't feel like you're welcome. You don't feel like you're wanted. So you have to provide a welcoming environment. And your pricing as well. If you're interested in youth, you have to understand they don't have a ton of money. You have to understand that they have some severe limitations in terms of how are they going to get there. They don't have vehicles in many cases. So you have to do things to make it easier for them. We offer a very special price at Bear Oaks. We offer $10 visit price, which is less than a quarter of anybody else. We offer a $100 a year membership, which is about 20% or less than 20% of what everybody else pays for anybody 25 and under. So you need to do things to make people feel welcome. You need to have a good welcoming environment where they can feel comfortable right off the bat. And I've talked before how, you know, our staff is nude and we greet people nude and how important that is. So I won't go through all that again. If you want to hear that, just go to the podcast where we talk about why clothing optional doesn't work, in my opinion. In my opinion, some people disagree, but I think it's very important. And you can listen to that show and then tell me that you disagree. You should also hire those young people. I hire youth. And there's many advantages to that. I mean, first of all, you know, you need somebody in the summer to work and keep the place going. And they want jobs. And the beautiful thing is, unlike those of us who are in the prime of our life, they're just looking for summer jobs. So they're not upset that a job comes to an end. There's not many people you can hire who are happy to have a job for just 3 or 4 months. But young people are. And they need those jobs. They have trouble finding jobs. I think, actually, as a business owner, I have a certain responsibility to help the young people because we have to keep our society going. We have to give them the experience. So, I mean, it's a wonderful deal for everybody. They're also willing to work very reasonably. It's cost-effective. But they have so much energy and enthusiasm. We've had several that are not naturists. I've talked about them before. I've interviewed them on the show. They were not naturists when they started working for us. And yes, they worked nude and no, they didn't have any problems. And in fact, they were very enthusiastic about the whole experience. They loved it. And don't forget, all those young people that are working there, they have friends. They have friends and they tell their friends and those friends might come. Maybe not this year, maybe another year, but the word spreads. And that's what you have to do. You have to spread the word. You have to do the marketing. It also provides a youthful first impression because when people come in, they see young people. When young people come in, they see other young people. And that first impression helps give the park a younger impression. And since there's that myth out there, well, maybe it's not completely myth, maybe it's true, that nature's parks are just retirement homes and with old fogies, to have a youthful face behind the counter that greets you is going to help reverse that. Even if the majority of the people in the club are older, starting people off with a young person will give your club the impression, at least, that there are young people there. Otherwise, they may never see them. But in all of that, in trying to attract youth, you have to recognize reality. And the reality is that only a small percentage of people are interested in naturism. If you look at the percentage of people in your club versus the population in your area, it's probably a very, very tiny percentage. Most people will not be interested. It's too big of a step. It takes them a long time to make that decision, or they just can't do it. And it's the same thing with young people. Don't expect to attract all young people. There's only certain young people who have the right mindset, and I will say the intelligence, since we're all naturists listening to this, to make that step and to take the leap and to recognize the benefits and the advantages. So you can't attract all young people. And don't try. Don't try to be. There is no one formula for all young people. Not all young people are the same. Not all adults are the same. Not all old people are the same. There are young people who are interested, and those are the ones you're trying to attract. And even within young people with a similar mindset, it's not just age. We focus very much on age when we talk about youth. But there's a huge difference between a single 22-year-old, let's say, versus a married 22-year-old with a child. They are whole worlds apart in their what we call psychographics in marketing. It's not demographics, it's psychographics. It's how they think. And when they are with children, when they're in family, they're not looking for the big wild parties, for example. So that's a whole different target group that you might be working with. And I think when you have children, you start to look at the world differently. You start to see what kind of world your children will be raised in. You start to consider body issues, body image things, especially when you're in the hospital giving birth as a mother and you're using your body to give life and you're using your your breast to feed your child, that gives you a whole different idea of what your body's about at that point. It makes you much more open to the ideals of naturism, ethical naturism, of course. You also have to realize that no matter what, youth are busy. They don't have a lot of money. They have difficulty getting anywhere because they may not have a car. They're starting their career. They have other priorities, which might be school. It might be family because they're still living at home. Their friends are very important. Their social circles, they're just developing all that. If they're not busy going to university or high school, they have to find a job, which is why you need to employ them if you want them to be there. Otherwise, they're going to have to work somewhere else, which will make it impossible for them to come to the club on weekends. So you have to appreciate that there are limitations with youth. And you can't expect that young people to spend as much time in a naturist club as the retired 66-year-olds who have the entire summer to just hang out in the park. So from a perception standpoint, there's still that reality that there will only be so many young people in the club at any one time. And if you have a very small club, let's say only 50 members, and let's say 10% are young, that's a little high for the percentage of the population, but let's say 10% are. That means there's 10 out of 50. Well, you're going to find the 40 spend a lot more time than the 10. And at any one point, you might be in the park and none of those 10 will be there because those 10 might be five couples. And if they all have something that weekend, none of them will be there, which will make the park look old again. So you have to manage the perception and understand that reality again. And finally, like any marketing, remember that marketing takes time. There is no marketing tool that's magic that will give you people tomorrow. There's no instantaneous solution. You can't change your brand and who you are, and you can't make people make a decision on coming to your club instantly. If you ever try to talk somebody into coming to the club, a friend or a relative, you know it takes a long time. And marketing is no different. In fact, it's more difficult. Because in marketing, you don't get that one-on-one conversation where you get to really convince them. So marketing is not a sprint. It's a long marathon. And you have to plan it. You have to stick with it. And it will take years to really get where you want to go. And in the future, I'll do probably a podcast just on marketing and branding because that is my background of what I do. But I think that's enough now in terms of attracting youth. That's what's worked for us. And I really think that's what would work for most places if they could find that right combination of all these factors. But why don't we listen to people from a couple of groups that are succeeding in organizing young people in naturism. The first group I contacted is YNA, Young Naturists of America. And YNA, their own introduction says this. It says, YNA, which stands for Young Naturists America, is a young nudist organization for naturists and nudists. YNA is based out of the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, but our organization is growing quite rapidly. We welcome everyone to join us and try nude recreation, regardless of race, color, sexual orientation, tattoos, and piercings. The nudist movement used to be about acceptance, so we say, back to basics. The goal of our young naturist organization is to promote nude recreation and to educate people about naturism and nudism. We explore cool nudist resorts and clothing optional places to go to. And last but not least, we organize nudist events and naked parties for fellow nudists and naturists from all over the world. We coordinate fun nudist and naturist events, naked parties such as our signature Nude Night Out and Nude Year's Eve Nude Party in Manhattan. There is always a naked party or nude-friendly event taking place, either hosted or co-hosted by our organization. Young Naturists and Young Nudists America, let's not limit our nude life to only our local nude beach. So I want you to know one of the sentences in there was, the nudist movement used to be about acceptance. So we say back to basics. So there's that philosophy, back to the core, that not just getting naked, but meaning something. So I got in contact with one of the founders and organizers, Felicity Jones, and I asked her to tell us more about YNA.
My name is Felicity Jones. I'm 24 years old. I started Young Naturists America with Jordan Bloom in the fall of 2010. I have a blog called Felicity's Blog, and basically We both do all kinds of different rejects of all trades, basically. But I write Felicity's blog. We also organize events. And we have a website with all kinds of other content and articles. We have an app for smartphone with nudist locations all over the world. And so we have a lot of projects going on, but that's about it.
So there's more than one Young Naturist of America chapter, right? Did you start the whole thing, or are you one of the chapters?
We just started opening up new chapters. So we have Young Naturist America Wisconsin chapter now. We also have a New Jersey chapter. So we've gradually been expanding to other states with people who have wanted to start YNA chapters, who want to start something in their area.
So you and Jordan are really the founders of the whole group then?
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. So what made you decide to do that?
It was actually Jordan's idea to start a new organization. He wasn't satisfied with what was already out there, and he also wanted to start an organization to attract more young people into nudism, into the nudist movement. And he asked me if I wanted to join him and start a blog, and that's how it all started.
And how's it going?
And it's going really well.
So you just had a gathering at Rock Lodge, and how was that?
It went really awesome. I mean, this was probably the best one we've had thus far. We had over 90 people come out to Rock Lodge for a whole weekend gathering, and basically we organized some activities there. A lot of people get to meet each other, make new friends. So we organized yoga and sports and games and body painting. And it was just a really great time, actually.
So there's the whole myth that young people aren't interested in naturism. So you don't think that's true, right?
I think that's a myth. I do. I think that a lot of young people can be found on nude beaches because it's a lot cheaper and it's just really simple to just take a day trip to a beach. And I think there's no lack of interest out there based on what we've experienced since 2010. And we get actually a lot of people from the mainstream rather than the naturist community.
So why do you think that there's all these clubs that have trouble attracting young people?
There could be different kinds of factors. I mean, we also say, it's up to the club if they even want to attract more young people. Some clubs don't. But it can be different factors, such as it's too expensive, for one. Other things that there's just not a lot for a young person to do there. It's not, they don't offer the kinds of activities that young people would want.
So what kind of activities? What kind of amenities or facilities are young people looking for?
Young people want to be active. They want to play sports, volleyball. They also want to stay up late at night to basically just keeping it active. And the other thing is that I think when a young person visits a club and sees nobody else their age, they're not that likely to go back. And so kind of what we've been doing is creating a community so that people do have people to go with, also that they're of their own age and they're able to meet people their own age or people that are interested in the same things.
So unfortunately for some clubs, that's a bit of a chicken or the egg situation. They don't have young people, which means if young people come, they're not interested because there's no young people, which means they will not stay, which means there will be no young people.
Yeah, it can kind of be like that, I guess. I'm thinking about the clubs that do have young people and why they have more young people, such as Sunnyrest, actually, in Pennsylvania, has this really, every weekend there's something going on. It's always really lively. They have yoga classes. I think they have Zumba there now. They have a bar by the pool, which isn't necessarily what every club wants, but they just have a lot going on every weekend, so I think that's part of what attracts a lot of people there.
So let's talk about young people. First of all, what is a young person?
Well, we actually, I don't define a young person by age necessarily. Our attitude is basically, you know, age is just a number. And so we don't have an age limit for our own events. Like, you don't have to be under 35 or 40 or whatever it usually is. A lot of people would say it's 18 to 35. And this is the generation that we are trying to target in particular with our events and our organization. But a young naturist is just somebody who likes to, who is young at heart and likes to be active. As a simple definition, I guess.
Sure. And so, as I guess, essentially, you're a non-landed club, and are you welcome everywhere?
We are a non-landed club, and what do you mean?
Well, as a non-landed club, you're presumably traveling to other naturist clubs. Are you always finding yourself welcome, or do you find sometimes that places don't want you because, I don't know, you're too active, or maybe your gender balance isn't right, or whatever the rule is? Have you ever been rejected by a club?
No, we haven't necessarily. No, we haven't been rejected. We haven't approached that many clubs ourselves to do events there. Actually, some clubs have started approaching us about doing events there, trying to talk to us about, you know, getting something going at every club, which is, we need more hands to do that. But, you know, we might eventually approach a club and they might say no, which is fine. I mean, it's totally up to them. If they want to get more young people, or if they want to do a weekend one summer where they have a big group of people come.
So let's talk about the youth movement in naturism. There's other groups, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me some of the other groups?
There's Vita Nuda, which is a national organization in the United States. They have different chapters. There's one in California. I'm not sure if they're active right now, but there's also Vita Nuda Northeast in the tri-state area where we are. There's a Vita Nuda group in Florida. I'm not sure if there are other ones I'm missing. And then there's Florida Young Naturists, which is just in Florida. And they do events down in Florida at Sunsport Gardens.
So do you work with all the other groups? Do you and Vita Nuda have any relationship or connection?
So we don't work with any other groups at the moment. We're completely independent. As far as Vita Nuda, we kind of have a different idea of how to do things, how to go about things. And so basically we do everything independently of the other groups. And there has been some controversy. You know, we've been trying to work things out with the leaders of other groups, and hopefully one day we will be able to work together, all together within the naturist movement.
Okay, well, you know, that's reasonable. There's different types of clubs, and there's different types of organizations. And, you know, in the United States, you have the Naturist Society and ANNR, and they don't always agree. I noticed you called yourself a young naturist of America as opposed to nudist. Does that mean something to you?
Well, it's like the two words, naturist versus nudist. Is there a difference? Is there not? I think sometimes nudist can have a negative connotation to it. So I tend to prefer the word naturist more. I think in the U.S. they mean the same thing. Some people would say, no, naturist means you want to be naked all the time and you're really active in naturism. But we use these terms interchangeably.
So what are your plans for YNA? What are your plans for growth?
We just would like to continue growing, expanding to other states. We're coming out with an official membership soon so people can actually have a YNA card. And we actually hope to negotiate more with more resorts in the U.S. to create a young adult rate so that more clubs and resorts are accessible to young adults.
If somebody in another state or city somewhere wants to start a chapter of YNA, what should they do?
They should contact us. We're working on a Bible of sorts of how to start a chapter in their area, in an area.
So when you go look at their website, and you really should, you will see that they make very, very heavy use of social networking. A very active website. You kind of heard that from the activities that Felicity was talking about at the beginning of the show. And they, in an offline conversation that you didn't hear in the interview, she talked also about how they're not exactly nonprofit. They do make some money off their events. Not a lot, certainly not to make a living, certainly not to make it a job. But they've been criticized for that. And I actually find that horrible. I mean, if it bothers you that your local Nature's Club is making money, you don't want naturism to grow. We live in a capitalist world. The government is never going to build a naturist club for you. Naturist clubs will only be built by people who have the money if they think they can make money. And we all need to make a living. So I certainly say don't apologize for making money. Be proud of it. Bear Oaks is not profitable, but it will be. And I am planning on making a lot of money with it. And when I do, I will tell everyone, because hopefully that will encourage others to start their own naturist clubs in other places. The other thing I wanted to let you know is if you want to start a local group, you can contact them. I will post in the show notes links to their website, and there's contact information there, because it would be great to have other young people start groups, either of YNA, or you can contact Vita Nuda or some of the other ones as well, and start your own chapter and really start getting involved. And the nice thing about being associated with a group like YNA is that they will then help you promote it because they have all the websites and social networking systems in place already. You just need to organize local events. And if anybody wants to do it in the local Toronto area, I, with Bear Oaks, would be very happy to help you. The other group that I was very interested in is Naked Vegan Cooking. They were in the TV show My Daughter, the Teenage Nudist, which I mentioned in episode 39. Teenagers and Young Adult in Naturism was the title of that particular episode a few episodes ago. And they're interesting because they don't actually identify themselves as part of the movement. They don't call themselves naturists. The description on the website is as follows. Naked Vegan Cooking is a blog full of delicious, easy-to-cook vegan recipes and beautiful naked bodies and not an airbrush in sight. We believe in tasty food and positive body image. The blog was started by Greta, Jess, and Luke. We like to cook naked for ourselves, our friends, and lovers out of our huge, messy, shared house in Manchester. And then we post the recipes and photos online for you to share. You can also submit your own recipes and photos for us to put up on the blog. Happy cooking! So, as you listen to this interview, do listen about the values, about the philosophy, about the importance of ethics, and how they don't identify with the naturist movement. But why is the big question?
Well, my name is Jess. I'm 24. I'm an environmental management student, and I run a project called Naked Vegan Cooking. Naked Vegan Cooking is a blog, a website, which features naked people cooking fabulous vegan food. And we also run events, pop-up restaurants, we run campaigns, we organize around issues of body positivity, and we generally get up to quite a few other sort of antics.
Well, it's an interesting combination, Naked Vegan Cooking. Do you think it's more about being a vegan or more about body positivity?
Well, I mean, for me, they're quite hard to separate the two. So body positivity and the food that we put into our bodies are so inseparable. You know, they affect each other so much that I find it hard to separate them. I would say that for me, the focus is more on body positivity. And I think that's probably the same for everyone else involved. We just happen to be vegan, but we're more interested in, you know, spreading the word about body positivity, feminism, and that sort of thing.
Well, it actually makes, historically, what you're doing makes a lot of sense. Because the early naturism was all about health, and many of them were vegetarian as well, as well as non-smoking and no alcohol and all that stuff. Mandatory calisthenics in the morning in some of the early 20th century, but today that link is often lost and not as obvious. How did you come to create this blog and put the two together?
Well, I think for us, the blog basically started with me and Greta, who started the blog. We moved in together, and we're really into food, and we basically started cooking each other meals, and we're trying to outdo each other all the time and creating more and more elaborate food. And we realized that, like, the competitive nature of the relationship wasn't really working. So we decided to kind of pool our resources, as it were, and start a website, a cooking blog. And we were living with a naturist at the time, Zach, and he was just in the kitchen naked at the time when we were discussing it. And, you know, the idea popped into our head, it should be a naked cooking blog. And it all started from there, really.
Well, and what kind of response have you had? Has it been positive?
It's been overwhelmingly positive, yeah. I mean, we started off the project just thinking that it would be a way for us to share recipes amongst our friends, and people might think we're a bit weird but kind of like it. And quickly we realized that by going naked, we kind of created a platform in which we could talk about other issues like body positivity, feminism, and so on and so forth. And, you know, the response that we've had has been completely overwhelming. And we've been going for just over a year, when we've had, you know, about 1 million hits on our website. We've been on TV, we've been on radio, we've been interviewed by newspapers, we've run events, we've had so much interest in the project. It's been really, really fantastic.
Any negative reactions, or negative or bad people? People with the wrong intent, perhaps?
I mean, yeah, we do not so much with the events. We're very strict with the events. You know, we have this safer spaces agreement that we read out before every event, and everyone, you know, knows that inappropriate behavior won't be tolerated at the event. But certainly on the internet, you can't really control the space nearly as much, and we do get a lot of negative comments, particularly about the way people look, or what have you. Some people have even criticized you know, the cleanliness of our house, which is quite funny. So yeah, on the internet we do get a few people, and you know, if you look through the search terms that people come to the site, there's some really disturbing ones. But you know, all in all, the reaction has been largely positive. We have people telling us that, you know, the site has really helped them come to terms with a certain issue, or, you know, has really inspired them to go naked themselves, or to, you know, go vegan, or what have you.
You know, the majority of the comments can be positive, but sometimes I find the few negative comments can be so harsh and hurtful. Some people, that's enough to just turn them right off. You've managed to get through that and not let it affect you?
In the most part, yeah. I mean, there's one particular post that I wrote about my own experiences with having an eating disorder, and when there's negative comments on that post, it does affect me. But in the main, we get so many positive comments, and you know, the collective that we have is such a tight team, and we're very supportive of each other that, you know, we're going to continue forward no matter how many negative comments we get. And certainly we've kind of formed a very supportive community around us. So any negative impact is certainly limited.
Well, what you're doing is very brave and very important. So, you know, I commend you for that. But, you know, most naturists won't even tell their friends and family that they're naturists for fear of losing their jobs or losing their friends or being ostracized by their family. Weren't you concerned about that? And did you have any of that?
I mean, I guess that ship has sailed, really, because I've been full frontal naked on the telly. But you know, I am a little bit concerned about it. I mean, part of the job that I've had for the past 5 years is I go into schools and give workshops on climate change, and I do wonder whether going so publicly naked would impact on my ability to become a teacher or to pursue that field anymore. But certainly in terms of my friends, I live in a very sort of liberal university environment. They don't bat an eyelid. My family, they're a little bit more conservative with this sort of thing. You know, I come from a background of most of my family used to be evangelical Christians, so they're a bit concerned with it, but they kind of have put it into the box of the weird things that I do, and you know, as long as they don't talk about it, then it's fine. And largely, I think they're kind of secretly a little bit proud of the success of the blog as well. So
now it's one thing, it's hard enough as a man, but for a woman, that's even more difficult. How has Greta coped with all of this?
Well, I think Greta has faced this more than I have, certainly. She didn't end up going on the television program because her family basically said that she would be kicked out of or kicked off the wheel or you know, disowned or what have you, if she went down that route. And so she does kind of face that a little bit more. And you know, the majority of the sort of negative comments on the blog are directed at the women on the site. And that's, you know, because we live in such a sexist culture, I guess, that it's more acceptable for people to comment on women's bodies than it is for people to comment on male bodies.
Well, you read some of the comments sometimes you see on women's bodies, and it sounds almost angry, like people are trying to hurt the women intentionally. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so strange. I mean, if you've ever actually put up, read one of the so-called women's magazines that's on sale in supermarkets or whatever. I don't know if it's the same in Canada, but certainly over here, you open up a magazine and they've got all these celebrities and they're zooming in on cellulite, and the next page they're, you know, trying to sell you plastic surgery or Botox or makeup or whatever. It's certainly, you know, making people hate their own bodies certainly is big business for some, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, Greta in particular. Obviously, her picture is all over your blog. She's obviously an attractive young woman. What would anybody get out of criticizing parts of her body? What's the objective? Except to make her feel bad. It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe, you know, we're particularly women are kind of taught that there's certain ways of being and you know, certain things are acceptable. And, you know, instead of fighting out against sexism, it's more acceptable within a sexist society to fight out at other women instead. So, I mean, certainly they're misplacing their anger, but, you know, it's forgivable in some ways.
Yes. Now, the show you're referring to is My Daughter, the Teenage Nudist, which ran on Channel 4, is that right?
Yeah, it was live on Channel 4 in primetime TV, yeah.
And I've talked about it before on this show, and I'll put a link to the video of it in the show notes. But what did you think of the show overall?
You know, to be honest, they could have... they really could have gone in a completely different direction with the TV show. You know, once we'd signed the release forms, they could have really screwed us over, and they didn't, which was nice. The show was largely positive, I would say. They cut out a lot of the talk about the politics behind our project, but a bit of it was still in there. The main thing that kind of gets my goat is really the title, My Daughter, the Teenage Nudist, because actually like half the people in the actual program weren't teenagers. In fact, only one person was. Half of them weren't daughters, and kind of gave this kind of titillating, kind of sexualizing feel to an overwhelmingly positive documentary. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, but that was Channel 4's decision and not the decision of the documentary makers themselves. And as I understand it, I think that the people who made the documentary are similarly kind of annoyed by it.
And what was the reaction in the UK to the show?
It's hard to view it objectively because we were involved in it, obviously. We did get a lot of positive comments. There were a few newspaper articles about the project as a result of the documentary. Largely, they kind of poked a little bit of fun here and there. But, you know, the angle wasn't look at these freaks are going naked, but kind of, oh, these people are naked, isn't that kind of amusing? So, you know, it could have been worse.
So, and you espouse in your blog and how you're talking all the values of naturism, but you don't really call yourself a naturist, is that right?
Yeah, I don't really call myself a naturist. I don't think like any particular labels is are useful things, really, but particularly, I don't feel like I identify with this idea of naturism. I like being naked and I like social nudity, but I don't really see the relevance of going to a place like a naturist club, or you know, I don't feel involved in that side of the community so much, and I don't really find it a useful way of identifying myself.
Well, the show, My Daughter, the Teenage Nudist, was about youth and naturism, nudism, the values behind it. So that begs the question, of course, is it true that young people aren't interested in naturism? You seem to run contrary to that.
I think young people nowadays, you know, we're saturated by nudity. You know, you'll see it on billboards, you can log onto the internet and, you know, find loads of porn. You know, basically there's nudity anywhere you look. Obviously that's mostly sexualized nudity, not social nudity, but a lot of people don't really see a difference, you know, unless they've tried it. So young people in general have access to nudity all the time. So I don't think that the idea of naturist things or going to a naturist club just to simply be naked is appealing to people. It's not relevant to people's lives, but you know, go to a music festival, you know, later on when everyone's had a couple of beers, probably half the people there will be getting naked, and you know, that is social nudity. It doesn't have this label of naturist on it, but it's more relevant to young people's lives because, you know, it's what they actually want to do. It's not this kind of weird, you know, manufactured environment simply where people can be naked. It's more, it happens more naturally, as it were. And I think that's the sort of social nudity that young people are engaging with. And I think they are engaging in it on increasing levels. It's just, it just doesn't pop up on most naturist radar because it doesn't have that label.
Well, it's interesting. You're saying a lot of things that I agree with. First of all, in your blog, you're talking about a philosophy, a life philosophy about health and body acceptance and all that stuff, which naturism started out as. But it is not what you describe when you talk about a naturist club, because you talk about a weird manufactured place where you can just be naked. Your description is devoid of any of those values. So do you think if there was a, you know, a naturist club that was all about vegan cooking and health and that kind of thing, it might appeal to you more?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the question of health and that sort of thing, I find it depends on which angle you took the health thing, certainly. But I think that there is definitely a place for social nudity if it has a certain political element to it, you know, something that is, you know, actively organizing against the media, you know, or you know, body shaming or what have you. And I'd certainly be more interested in a place like that that was politicized around those issues, rather than, you know, a place where you just went and played mini tennis, but you just happened to be naked.
Right. So what you're saying is that the ideals are not there, right?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you know, I've never really been to a naturist club, so I might be getting this totally wrong, but I don't really see the politicized element, the ideals, so much with you know, the more established naturist culture. And that's the sort of stuff that makes naturism relevant to me, anyway.
Yes. Well, what you're saying is even if it exists, they're doing such a poor job of communicating it that you're not interested. And that's whether it exists or not is debatable. But assuming that it does exist, if young people aren't told of it or don't hear of it, then it's not appealing, is it?
Well, yeah, of course. And that's the thing. To really attract young people, you need to really make things relevant to them. I mean, if you look at, I don't know, another movement that involves social nudity and that has managed to attract young people is the World Naked Bike Rides. And they have, you know, they've gone about and made it relevant to young people by talking about issues of, you know, climate change or you know, cyclist safety, you know, issues that affect them, and so people actually mobilize around it and go to it. There has to be that sort of link of making it relevant, because young people nowadays, they're torn in all different directions. You know, you've got so much technology, so much things to do, that you really have to, you know, make things completely relevant to them. Otherwise, you know, they won't turn up. But you know, I don't necessarily think it's the duty of older members of the naturist community to really reach out to young people. I think that's our job, really. And if there aren't as many young people in the naturist movement, then it's more our fault than anyone else's.
Well, I was just in France a few weeks ago at a very large naturist resort, over 3,000 campsites, and there were lots of young people. So it really depends on where you are, but that particular place is also one which has a strong philosophy of naturism and life, and it's well known for that. In fact, it's one of the places where it started in Europe. But I also noticed in the events that you had, you had one just a week ago, and you don't seem to have any trouble attracting young people either.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons why is possibly because, you know, we have we are young people, and I think it's easier for us to sell it to young people because we're in those communities. You know, we just told our friends to turn up and to bring their friends, and you know, people turned up. It would be harder for somebody who's older who doesn't have those links into student life or youth culture or whatever to really bring them along because there's that generational gap. But certainly, I think we need to, if we're wanting to spread the, you know, the ideals of naturism and the idea of social nudity as a practice, we need to be starting to think about doing things that young people enjoy.
So you will have heard the emphasis on ethics and ideals and being political and how naturism has lost its meaning to them. You know, they talk about the same values that I talk about in ethical naturism and that many naturists believe in, but they don't seem to see it. They believe that naturist clubs are these dowdy old places where you just sit around and do nothing, and that naturists have no values. They just like to sit around naked and play lawn bowling or something, so which, of course, we do as well. But there are values in naturism, or there should be. There are at Bear Oaks, and there is in many other clubs. But perhaps we don't talk about it often enough, or perhaps in an attempt to attract people, we are trying to be too vague, too wishy-washy, too loose with those morals, trying to appeal to a broader audience. But in doing so, we are alienating people, and we are making it less interesting for people who are interested in something meaningful, for people who are interested in ethical naturism. So you need to have those ideals. If you want to attract youth, and you have to talk about it, that's part of that messaging. You need to be an ethical naturist, and you need to promote it and talk about it. Well, that's all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening, especially for getting us to this incredible number of 139,000 downloads. My name again is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for this podcast, and I'm the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. You can find links to all the items I mention in the show notes, all those other websites and videos and movies and things that we talk about. They're all in the show notes with a link. The show notes are on the show website, which is located at naturistliving.bearoaks, B-A-R-E-O-A-K-S, Bear Oaks, of course, .ca, because we're in Canada. And if you have comments, please keep sending them. I do enjoy getting them. Thank you to everybody who, with the kind and supportive words that I keep getting after each show. You can keep sending them to me at naturistliving@BearOaks, that's B-A-R-E, of course, BearOaks.ca, because we are in Canada. Join us again in about a month for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.